During the opening credits of the movie Gods and Generals, you hear this song.
They say there's a place where dreams have all gone. They never said where, but I think I know. It's miles through the night, just over the dawn, on the road that will take me home.
Going Home was written and performed by Mary Fall, and it also appears on her new recording, The Other Side of Time, on the Sony Classical label. There are 13 other tunes on the CD. It's her first full-length solo recording, and Mary Fall joins us from New York. What a pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, thank you, Leanne.
Let's start with this Gods and Generals song. I mean, first of all, how'd you get this gig?
Well, you know, I knew that Sony Classical was going to distribute the film score. And I really love songs from that period. I'm a big Stephen Foster fan. And so I thought, you know, what the heck? I'd try my hand at writing a song that would sound modern but still have a feel of sort of a, you know, an Americana feel, a very simple Celtic-based kind of song. And we tried it, and we gave it to Ron Maxwell, the director, and he loved it. So that's how it happened.
If one were just to listen to Going Home, one would hear this very dramatic, epic, cinematic kind of song, which is really what it should be because it was done for a movie. But you also get to hear a lot of other different styles on this. Was this a deliberate decision of yours? Is this like a showcase for the things your voice can do?
No, you know, that's not why I did it. The reason that I did it was that I had been signed to a classical label, and a pop label would never, ever have let me do a record like that, not in a million years. And ever since I was a very small child, I had been a huge fan of Judy Collins. And I loved those records in my life, and Who Knows Where the Time Goes. And I guess in the back of my mind, I always envied her that she had the freedom to do all kinds of material. But basically, that's why I did that kind of a record. I wanted to make a record like In My Life or like Wildflowers. Obviously, we don't sound anything alike. But in terms of just the eclecticism, that's what I was aiming for.
What holds it together then? I mean, you do see it as a whole, and maybe not thematic, but there is something that does hold all of these disparate styles, from erotic Moroccan kind of poetry through opera, through pop, through jazz. What holds it together other than the dramatic sound of your incredible voice?
Well, it is my voice, and it is the style in which I sing, which isn't heavily ornamented. I also enlisted John Lissauer, who is a marvelous arranger, to do the arrangements on most of the songs so that those arrangements would keep it cohesive. Also, I wanted the record to have a very, very cinematic feel to it, not just because I wrote some songs for movies, but I see songs as films almost in my head.
Huh. Give us an example, one that runs as a movie in your head.
Oh, definitely Dream of You. What inspired that song was basically, you know, when I was thinking about writing for films and so forth, I thought, you know, I wonder what a Vertigo theme song would have sounded like. I'm a big Hitchcock fan, and we wanted it to have a kind of Bernard Herrmann feel to it, sort of a haunting on the edge of creepy kind of sound.
Ooh.
So we put a theremin in, and that's what really inspired that song.
The arrangements on this CD are pretty amazing. I mean, they're very lush, and we hear things. I think I'm hearing a cello at one point, or thinking, you know, hearing huge arrangements. Did you hear the songs that way when you wrote them?
That's a really good question. Some of them, yes. Dream of You is one example, but I do have a taste for sort of lush, dense kinds of arrangements.
Do you like lush, dense arrangements? Because your voice is so big and is so dramatic. They complement one another. It's almost like you, I don't want to say you need it because you don't, but there's a synergy that happens there. There's something that happens when your voice goes up against a big arrangement.
Well, I like a grand kind of sound, which was one of the things that was really fun about doing the Donizetti piece,
The
Una
Furtiva
Frittiva
Lacrima.
Confondere i miei suoi sospiri.
Have you ever thought of doing opera? Did you ever consider being an opera singer?
No, not never, never, never. Mostly because I wasn't really a soprano. I've got this deep, dark voice, and I never had any training. I actually thought I'd go into musical theater, and I always lost out to the blonde soprano.
And you're the blonde what? Contralto? Alto?
Well, I'm the light brown haired contralto. But yeah.
Wasn't it a risk, though, kind of a chance you were taking here by actually singing some opera?
I guess I just thought that if I approached it like a folk song and sort of brought out the more Andalusian elements of it in the arrangement, that I mean, at the end of the day, it's still just a song. I mean, it's I think people think of these things as sort of sacred cows. They're not. It's just music. I just thought I would sort of sing it as if it were a Mary Fall song. And I'm sure there are plenty of opera buffs out there that are cringing, but I love doing it.
You have to tell us about Ben Aindi Habibi, which I hope I'm pronouncing close to right.
You're absolutely right. I discovered that song while I was on tour with my old band, October Project, and we were in Spain. Ben Aindi Habibi is a harcha, which most of them were written in the 11th and 12th century. And there's some debate, but some scholars think that they were written by women. And the language is archaic. It's in Mozarabic, which is kind of a mixture of Spanish and Arabic. And it's such a passionate, sensuous language. I think it's that cut is my favorite on the record by far.
Is it really?
Oh, absolutely.
What does
Yeah.
it mean? I mean, do you know what the language means? What is being sung here?
Well, most of these songs, really, if you pare them down, are just very simple and very surprisingly erotic. And basically, it's this woman who's been waiting for her lover all day, and he's not there, and she's sort of bemoaning this, and she's waiting for him, and she can't stand it anymore, and she calls him a liar, and it's, basically, "Mercy, my beloved, I'm longing for you, and if you're not here soon, I'm basically gonna die. And when you do get here and I kiss you, you won't be leaving too soon."
Sarah Vaughan is listed as one of your influences,
Yes.
the wonderful jazz singer. The number "Kindness to Be Cruel," I actually thought it was going to turn out to be kind of a Sarah Vaughan bluesy number, but then all of a sudden it kind of takes a turn and the tempo speeds up and you end up going in a completely different direction. What was the genesis of this one?
Well, that's a song that I co-wrote with Ramsey McLean, who is a New Orleans-based songwriter, and Ramsey's a big Laura Nyro fan, so in terms of the arrangement, we wanted to sort of go for a kind of Laura Nyro meets Sarah Vaughan approach.
Kindness can be dude.
then it comes back a little bit into the kind of jazzy sound after it gets all poppy.
Right. And, you know, again, to me, that song is also extremely operatic. To me, it's sort of like sort of American jazz opera, to me.
Ah. What is your story? I mean, how did you become a professional singer? Is this what you envisioned for yourself when you were growing up?
Well, what I always wanted to be a performer. I thought I would end up in musical theater, but as I said earlier, I was not really immediately castable. I went to Europe for a couple of years, and I sang over there, you know, on a small-time professional level, and then came back here, and I met the people that would soon form October Project. October Project was a group, and I think a wonderful group, but this was a chance for me to sort of broaden my scope a bit and sing things that I'd always wanted to, including my own material, which I wasn't able to do with October Project. I took my time. I worked with some really wonderful people. And then also it was just sort of, you know, getting a deal and getting the right deal.
To do that that Judy Collins album you'd always wanted
to do. Oh, yeah, yeah. That was just, it was a dream come true.
Mary Fall, her new CD is on the Sony Classical label. It's called The Other Side of Time. And she joined us from New York. Good luck with this.
Thank you, Leanne.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen.